श्रीमद् भगवद गीता 1.24 संजय उवाच एव मुक्तो ऋषिकेशो गुडाकेशेन भारत सेनयोर्भयोर् मध्ये स्थापयित्वा रथोत्तमम्। नाउ ऑल्दो संजय इज स्पीकिंग एवरीथिंग इन द भगवद गीता, द होल भगवद गीता इज अ नरेशन बाय Sanjay to Dhritarashtra. Of course, the Bhagavad Gita is a conversation between Krishna and Arjuna. But it is being, the way it is recorded in the Mahabharata is that it is a subset of the conversation between Sanjay and Dhritarashtra. So, now, when Krishna and Arjuna are speaking, then we have Shri Bhagavan Uvacha or Arjuna Uvacha. But apart from their conversation, when there is a lull in the conversation while some action takes place or while some action is being reported, in order to report that action and to make clear who is reporting that action, the word Sanjay Uvacha comes up. So, within the narration, actually, say suppose drama is being put in written form, then it is said the narrator says. Actually, in one sense, everything is said by the narrator, at least as it comes in the text. But then, within the narrator's narrative, when the narrator describes certain people speaking, then it is said this person spoke and that person spoke. And when none of them are speaking, none of the characters in the narrative are speaking, but the onward flow of the narrative through the action is to be described, then it is said the narrator speaks. So that's why here we have, although everything is being spoken by Sanjay to Dhritarashtra, but when it is not somebody else whose words are being reported by Sanjay, then it is said Sanjay Uvacha. So, evam ukto rishikesho. In this way, to Rishikesh, the Lord with the control of the senses, he spoke. Who spoke this? Sanjay spoke this. Rishikesh. The word Rishikesh has come earlier in 1.20. And now it is being repeated. The point is, Krishna is the controller of the senses. Although he may temporarily, circumstantially act as as a charioteer, but still he is the counselor also. He is the ultimate controller. Out of affection, he may have become a charioteer, but that affection does not change his actual position. So, Gudakeshena Bharata, so that Lord who is Rishikesha, who is the supreme controller of all the senses, to whom these words were spoken. Rishikesho. So Rishikesho indicates that he is the receiver of the action. At least he was the receiver of the words which were spoken by Arjuna previously. So that person who spoke those words, who had done the ukto, that is described in the next verse. Gudakeshena Bharata. So here there are actually three names and things may become a little confusing. Gudakeshena refers to Arjuna, and Bharata, in some places the word Bharata is used to refer to Arjuna, as for example 2.14, Shitosh Sukadukkadaha Agamapayino Nityas Tamsi Tikshasva Bharata. There Bharata clearly refers to Arjuna as the descendant of the Bharata dynasty, as a descendant of Bharata, as a member of the Bharata dynasty. But Arjuna and Dhritarashtra are in the same dynasty. So here Bharata refers to Dhritarashtra. Sanjay is speaking to Dhritarashtra and is respectfully addressing him as, O descendant of the Bharata dynasty, of the Bharata, O Bharata. Now he's saying, Gudakeshena. So the word Budhakesha has many different meanings. So one meaning is that one who has conquered sleep. So Gudaka. Gudaka means sleep. And Isha is the controller. So one who has conquered sleep. So sleep, of course, represents the mood of ignorance. And Arjuna, being a transcendental pure devotee, had conquered the mode of ignorance as is manifested through sleep. Another aspect of the significance of the word Gudakesha is that Arjuna had been so eager to learn archery, so eager to speak, so eager to learn archery that he would practice even at night. At one time, now, as per like all the other students, he would practice throughout the day, and then at night he would desist from practice because it was dark. So one night when he was taking his food while it was dark, suddenly the lamp that was there, because in the room where he was taking food, the lamp got extinguished because of a sudden gust of wind. And Arjuna was continuing to eat, and it struck him at that time that, oh, actually I can eat even now. Even though it is dark, I can eat. So, you know, my hands know where my mouth is, and I don't need my eyes to see that. So if I can eat while I will in the dark, I should be able to shoot also while I'm in dark. That just as my sense of touch, and by my sense of touch, I can perceive where my mouth is, and I have overall sense of my body, so I can perceive where the food is, how my hand should move to reach the mouth. Similarly, I don't have to be singularly dependent only on my sense of sight for practicing and perfecting my archery skills. I can also train and sharpen my sight, my sense of hearing, sense of perceiving sound. And based on sound, I can hit targets even in the dark. So, with this inspiration, he started practicing even at night. And soon, by perceiving through sound and other such non-visual perceptions, the location of targets, he excelled in the art of shooting invisible targets. When the Kshatriyas would fight, you know, often their opponents would not fight fairly, especially if the opponents were Rakshasas or other such beings who had mystic powers. Then they would often become invisible, and invisibly they would attack. So now it's very difficult to fight an enemy if we can't see that enemy. But even when the Rakshasas were invisible, they would make some sound while they would be moving or while they would be shooting. So Arjuna, by his practice at night, tireless practice, where the other warriors, other warrior students would be sleeping and Arjuna would be fighting tirelessly. By that he became an excellent warrior, super excellent warrior, matchless warrior in fact. So Gudakeshi, you know. So he conquered his sleep so that he could conquer even the invisible enemies in his service to the Lord. Such is the illustrious expertise of Arjuna, which he had acquired by tireless zeal. Actually, you know, when we see someone who excels at a particular field, we may often either feel awestruck by their excellence or we may feel envious of their excellence. But what we often don't know is that excellence rarely comes automatically. And behind that excellence have been hours and hours and hours of practice. So whether it is in a field like cricket, where somebody is expert batsman or bowler, or whether it is in the field of oration, where somebody is an expert speaker, or it is in the field of music, where somebody is an expert singer or expert operator of an instrument, it all requires effort. And to follow in Arjuna's footsteps, we would like to not only develop devotion the way Arjuna had, but we also can develop the diligence to excel in our particular area of service, so that we can also do worthwhile service to the Lord. Certainly, the spirit of devotion, the desire to want to use our talents in Krishna's service is laudable, and that is what we need to learn the most, because in this world we are all infected by an enjoying mentality where we want to enjoy independent of Krishna. But we want to serve Krishna, but we also want to serve him competently, and so we should not flinch from industrious labor if that is what is required for us to excel in our skills. Of course, if we can't excel because of some circumstances or limitations, still Krishna will accept our service, and that is Krishna's magnanimity, and we should never be discouraged if our service is not of a very high quality. We should know that, okay, I'm doing my best, and Krishna is so kind that he'll accept this service. But just as relationships are two-way, so Krishna's love he expresses by accepting service, whatever way we do it. But we express our love for Krishna, not just by doing service whatever way we can, but by doing it the very best that we can, and by striving as much as we can to improve the quality of our service. So, Kuda Akesha, this is Arjuna conquered sleep so that he could serve Krishna better as an archer. Similarly, we too can strive to overcome our laziness, not just by giving up sleep, but also by giving up the inner inertia that makes us not want to work too hard. We work the best we can so that we can offer the best possible service to Krishna. And here in this context, as per Arjuna's request, Krishna took the chariot in between. Senayor Ubhayor Madhye Sthapayitva Rathottam. It was a magnificent chariot, Uttama, excellent chariot. It was a celestial chariot which he had got from Agnidev, and that is referred to by Rathottamam. So, as the action moves forward, as per Arjuna's request, Krishna has now taken the chariot and placed it between the two armies. What happens next, we will see in the future sessions. Thank you.